Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. I am so glad to see your face. How are you?
It's been so long. I'm doing well. I was bummed that I missed the last interview with Matt Chandler, but had some scheduling conflicts, and so I wasn't able to be there, but that meant that we went like almost a month without seeing each other.
I know.
Crazy.
And I found out I don't like doing that by myself. I don't like the pressure. So I'm really glad that you're back.
Yes, we are back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, so I guess since the last time that we recorded, we both have traveled. You and your husband went out of town.
Yeah, we went for a quick weekend trip to Louisville. He had gotten me some tickets to see a show down there, and so we went down there just for like a few nights, and it was nice to just get away. And
yeah,
just to get away
out of like your everyday
routine. Yeah, it was only a couple hours away, but it was nice to just jaunt down there and come back then on Sunday. So.
And there's something about, like, and I don't know what it is. Not everyone thinks this way, but, like, there's something about just sleeping in a hotel.
Yeah, it was great.
I get my best sleep in a hotel. And I just think because I don't look around and see everything that I need to do. You know?
Right. Or thinking through, oh, I need to do this. Yeah. I need to do that. You're like, I don't have to do anything.
That's right.
But sleep. That's right. But then you traveled, too.
Yeah, I did. So I recorded with Matt, and then that evening I caught a flight to Europe. My husband has some work in London that he had to do, and it's the big year for us. I turned 40 this year, which I'm in denial about. It was also our 15th wedding anniversary, and so we actually just took a flight to Paris for the weekend and then caught the train to England for his work. And so it was really nice, but I felt bad. My kids were here with their grandparents and they had the flu while I was gone. So I felt terrible about that. No, that was terrible, but they were well taken care of and, you know, they're very resilient.
Oh, for sure.
But it was still terrible. So now I am back to real life. And I always say I come back just feeling like I should be rested, but I'm not rested. And so now I'm like everything that I'm like back to doing all the things. I'm like, I just need a nap. That's where I'm at right now.
Just need a nap.
Yeah. But it was nice. It was a good time. Okay. All right. You ready to get into this?
I sure am.
Okay. So we took a break, like we just said, from our attribute series last episode as I interviewed my pastor, Matt Chandler, which I just want to say, I got a lot of DMs on this interview, and they were all like really encouraging. Some of them were like, I had to keep pausing and like looking upwards. They were like, I didn't even know that I believed that until I looked into it. And some people were like, great episode. Did not agree with everything. And my response is like, hey, that's great, because we don't want to be an echo chamber. We want you to know what you believe for yourself. So love that. And then a lot of people were like, it was an hour and 15 minutes. And so they listened to it a couple times already because there was just so much content. So if you haven't listened to it yet, I highly recommend going back and listening to it. But this episode, we are back to our Seeing God's Character in the Story of Scripture series. And so we're going to continue that this week. We are going to look at the book of Ruth, four whole chapters.
Yeah. So before we get into today's story, we're going to take a step back and see how we got here. So after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before finally entering the promised land. Who was under Joshua's leadership, right? They went in under Joshua's leadership. Under Joshua, the Israelites conquered much of Canaan, but after his death, they really struggled to remain faithful to God. This led to a time of the Judges, a period of great moral and spiritual decline. The book of Judges describes this time as a cycle of sin. Israel would turn away from God, face oppression from their enemies, cry out to God, and he would raise up a judge to deliver them. But as soon as that judge died, they would fall back into rebellion. And that's exactly the time period when today's story takes place. In the midst of this chaos, we find a story of faithfulness, redemption, and God's unshakable covenant love.
That's right. The book of Ruth is a powerful reminder of God's covenant faithfulness, showing us that even in seasons of loss and uncertainty, he's always working to redeem and restore. So like you just said, Kristen, the story of Ruth unfolds during the time of the judges, which was a period marked by Israel's repeated disobedience and forgetfulness of God's covenant. And the book of Judges ends with these sobering words. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so it was really a time of instability. But even in the darkness, God was at work through the life of a woman named Ruth.
Yeah. And like you said before, there's only four chapters in the book of Ruth. So we're going to take this chapter by chapter. And chapter one begins with a famine hitting Bethlehem, forcing a guy named Elimelech to move his family, his wife Naomi, and their two sons to Moab. Moab's significant because it's not Israel. The Moabites were outsiders and sometimes enemies to the Israelites. So this family is already stepping into very unfamiliar territory.
That's right. And things just get worse. Like Elimelech dies, leaving Naomi a widow. Her sons marry Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And then both sons die too, which is tragic. So yeah. Naomi's left with nothing but her daughter-in-laws in a foreign land. So honestly, like, she has no reason to stay, right? So Naomi tells them that she's going back home. She knows that the life of an unmarried foreign widow in Israel is going to be really hard. And so she just really compels them just to stay behind, to stay in their land. Orpah agrees, but Ruth shows like incredible loyalty to Naomi, saying, and I think we all know this verse, right? Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. So the two of them return to Israel, and the chapter concludes with Naomi changing her name to Mara, which means bitter, as she really laments what has happened to her.
So then we jump into chapter two, and it begins with Naomi and Ruth discussing where to find food. And it just so happens to be the beginning of the barley harvest. Ruth goes out and ends up picking grain in the field of Naomi's relative, Boaz, who we're told is a man of noble character. He notices Ruth and, after finding out about her story, shows remarkable generosity. He makes special provisions for the immigrant Ruth to gather in his field, just as the Torah commands in Deuteronomy 24:19.
Yeah, Boaz is so impressed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi that he prays God will reward her for her boldness. After Ruth comes home that day, Naomi finds out that she met Boaz, and she is like really thrilled. Boaz is their family redeemer, or you may have heard it called their kinsman redeemer. This phrase refers to a cultural practice in Israel where if a man in the family died and left behind a wife, it was the redeemer's responsibility to marry the widow and protect the family. So Naomi begins to hope that perhaps there is still a future for her family, that this is not the end for her.
And so chapter three, it starts with Naomi and Ruth making a plan to get Boaz to notice their situation. Ruth will stop wearing the clothes of a grieving widow and show that she's available to be married again. And Ruth goes to meet Boaz on the farm at night. As she approaches, Boaz wakes up startled, which, yes, I would be too.
Hello.
But Ruth makes her intentions clear, asking if Boaz will redeem the family and marry her. Boaz is once again amazed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi and her family and calls Ruth a woman of noble character. He tells her to wait until the next day when he will redeem Ruth and Naomi legally before the town elders.
Yeah. I just love how, like, above reproach he is being.
Yeah.
Like, in all of this.
It all sounds sounds like a cheesy Hallmark story, right? Like,
it really does. Like,
oh, but we can't do it now. It's tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. Also, Ruth is a bit of a creeper. Like, I mean, May was sleeping in the farm.
I know.
Okay. Well, just like that, we're in chapter four. So in chapter four, really, it all comes together. It turns out that there's a closer family member than Boaz who is already or who is also interested in redeeming the family. But at the last minute, he finds out that he has to marry Ruth, who is a Moabite, and he like declines. He doesn't want to do it. But Boaz, on the other hand, knows Ruth's true character, and he acquires the family property of Naomi's husband and marries Ruth. So just as Ruth was loyal to Naomi's family, Boaz was also loyal to their family.
And so this story concludes with a total reversal of all the tragedies from chapter one. The deaths of sons and husbands are reversed as Ruth is now married again and even gives birth to a new son, granting joy to her and Naomi. The opening tragedy, followed by a great act of loyalty on the part of Ruth, is matched by Boaz's act of loyalty that leads to the family's final restoration.
That's right. As I was reading through this, it's a really short book, so really easy to sit down and kind of digest and chew through. But I just think it was like really beautifully written, right? Like we actually see a really interesting thing in this story, just how little God is mentioned. Like the characters in the story talk about God a few times, but the narrator hardly ever mentions God explicitly doing anything in the story. But as we are trying to point out in this series, God's providence is at work behind every scene, weaving together in the lives of the people. So while Naomi's tragedy leads her to think that God's punishing her, we discover he's actually on a mission to restore her. And God accomplishes that restoration through Ruth's boldness and her loyalty. So the reason why Ruth's action brings healing to her and Naomi's life is because of Boaz. Like, it's because of this no-nonsense farmer who is full of generosity and loyalty.
We also see in this story the interplay between God's purposes and human decisions, right? So God weaves together the faithful obedience of his people to bring about his redemptive purposes. This leads into the actual end of the book, which is not a story. The book concludes with a genealogy that shows how Boaz and Ruth's son Obed was the grandfather of King David, from whom came the lineage of the Messiah. All of a sudden, this seemingly mundane events that we're seeing in the story are woven into God's grand story of redemption for the whole world. The small story of Ruth is taken up in the larger story of God's purpose. And in this way, the book of Ruth invites us to consider how God might be at work in our own lives as well.
That's right. You know, the story of Ruth is really an incredible story. Like, we see how gracious and good God is. We see the providential care God has for a woman who was not Jewish. You know, she was from Moab. She was actually a descendant of Lot, not a child of Abraham. Yet she became a recipient of God's promise to Abraham because salvation is a gift and is received by faith. Ruth was married to a Hebrew man who died. She returned to Israel from Moab with her mother-in-law. Ruth was an outsider and she was very vulnerable. But what we see so beautifully in her story is that God protected her and he provided for her. In the middle of a famine, God provided food to sustain her. And he did more than that. He ultimately provided a husband who redeemed her, and he saved her from destruction.
Yeah, you know, Ruth is also a picture of what it looks like to trust God in the hard seasons of life. And I know we've all been through those hard seasons of life. The story of Ruth is the story of you and I. We are outsiders who have no hope in a world cursed by sin, but God didn't leave us that way. He provides for us. He sustains us and he ultimately redeems us through Jesus.
That's right. You know, Ruth brought nothing to her relationship with Boaz but her own need, right? Boaz saw Ruth, he loved her, and he redeemed her. And from this loving act of redemption, it was from the family of their great grandson that Jesus would come into the world and, in his great love for people, redeem all who put their trust in him alone.
God also shows us his desire to redeem all those who belong to him by including Ruth in the lineage of Jesus. Remember that in Jesus, we have hope no matter how hopeless our situation looks. And Jesus is more than just a friend. He is our kinsman redeemer.
That's right. We see the character of God all over the story of Ruth. Mm-hmm. And I think two of the big ways that we see God's character is that we see that he's compassionate and that he's a provider. So he's compassionate. He sees and acts on behalf of his children. And he's provider. He meets the needs of his children. God saw Naomi and Ruth's situation and acted on their behalf by providing Boaz as their kinsman redeemer. But their greatest need, just like ours, was not just food or family. It was redemption. In the same way that Boaz willingly redeemed Ruth, Jesus is our ultimate kinsman redeemer. We were lost, in need, and unable to save ourselves. But God, in his compassion, provided the Savior we so ultimately need. Jesus not only sees our brokenness, but he also steps in to rescue us, paying the price to make us his own. Just as Boaz brought Ruth under his care and protection, Jesus brings us into his family, offering eternal security and hope. God's provision in Ruth's story points us to the greater provision of all, Jesus, our Redeemer. I love this book. It's so short, but it's so powerful.
Yeah, it is a good one for sure.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's short, and we knew going into this one that this was going to be
it's four chapters. Episode, I mean,
and that's okay. Last episode was long.
Last one, you got over an hour. That's right. That's
right.
You
can listen to this one twice if you need a good amount of listening to our voices, but I'm sure y'all don't need that.
So. That's right.
Anyways, friend, it was good to see you.
You too. Good to see you too.
We'll have to do this again soon.
That's right. How about in the next couple weeks?
All right. Sounds good. Well, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.